Our first reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The reading from verse 12 to verse 20, and it's on page 1156 of the Church Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We stand for the gospel reading. Reading is from Luke's gospel, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 17, and can be found on page 1033 of the Church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went down with the disciples and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Affirm our faith as we join together in the words of the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please sit down. In the vestry just before the service, Hamish said to me, I hope we're going to get more blessings than woes this morning. Well, I think we might get both. How much money would it take to make you happy? A few pounds? A few hundred pounds? A few thousand pounds? £400,000 a week? A recent football transfer. There's no transfer fee, but he's going to get £400,000 a week. I know footballers have short careers, but that is ludicrous. Is that going to make him any happier than any of us? Apart from the fact that he'll pay stonking amounts of tax as well, of course. But how much do we need? Do we need to be rich to be happy? Do we need to be rich to be blessed? So the first of these blessings says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. At that point, already, people must have thought Jesus was nuts, because, well, they did. I mean, at various points throughout his ministry, they thought he was mad, because wealth was a sign of God's blessing. Having enough to eat was a sign of God's blessing. Happiness was a sign of God's blessing. And Jesus is saying, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, you will laugh. And so on. It's strange words. It's familiar to us, probably not from this passage, but from the passage in Matthew chapter 5, what we call the Beatitudes, or as someone in Norfolk called it, the bootitudes, which isn't quite right, but it sounds much nicer to me. These are very similar. They're not identical. It's a good exercise to put them alongside one another and just notice the difference. There are less in Luke's gospel than there are in Matthew's. They're worded slightly differently. But the thrust of them is exactly the same. That God's kingdom isn't like the kingdoms of this world. God's kingdom is completely opposite to the way the world works. Because the woes, sorry Hamish, we're going to have some woes. Because the woes say, woe to you who are rich. No, that's wrong, Jesus, come on, what are you talking about? It's a blessing to be rich. Woe to you who are well fed. No, hang on. Woe to you who laugh. What are you saying? Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. He's completely lost the plot. But he hasn't, has he? What Jesus is saying is God's kingdom is different. God's kingdom, well, God's kingdom doesn't put things upside down. It put things right sides up. And particularly in Luke's gospel, he has a particular focus on the poor, the hungry, the outcast, those who are outside society, those who are on the margins, those who are on the edges. And if you were one of those people and you heard every other preacher saying, it's a blessing to be rich, it's a blessing to be well fed, it's a blessing, you'd think, hang on, I'm cursed by God. I haven't got any of these things. I've got no money, I've got no food, I'm sad all the time, everyone hates me, I'm ill, got leprosy, whatever it is. And then the preachers just reinforce your marginalization. They reinforce your sadness. They reinforce the fact that God doesn't love you. But Jesus comes along and says something completely different. He says, if you're poor, you're blessed. The kingdom is yours. If you're hungry, you will be satisfied. If you're weeping, you'll laugh. God's kingdom will change all of these things. God's kingdom will bring you in from the margins and place you right at the center of what it is to be loved by God. One of the things that Luke does is this idea of reversal, as I discovered as I was looking into this. If you think back to what we have come to know as the Magnificat, Mary's song in Luke chapter 1 after she's visited Elizabeth, and she says, my soul glorifies or magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, and so on and so on. And he says, and she says, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm, he's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. And here comes the reversal. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, and so on. And so there's an absolute echo there of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that the ones who the world thinks are cursed are blessed, and those who the world thinks are blessed, well, they need to watch out. He doesn't say they're cursed. He says, woe to them. Because there's a danger in those things. There's a danger in riches. There's a danger in having enough of everything. Because when we have everything we need, we no longer rely on God. We can become self-reliant. We can become proud. We can become not bothered with the things of God. Which is not to say there's anything wrong with any of those things in themselves. It's how we hold on to them, how we behave with them, but particularly how we behave towards those who are less well off than us. Elsewhere, of course, we're encouraged to generosity. We're encouraged to care for the poor. We're encouraged to look after the Bible puts it, the alien and the widow. And that's not little green men with television aerials sticking out of their heads. That's people, strangers. So all the while, we're encouraged out of the riches that we have to share, to bless others. And I think these woes only really apply if we hold on to these things for ourselves. If we're not generous, if we're not giving, if we're not looking out for others who are less well off than we are. And less well off in every sense, not just materially, but spiritually, emotionally, and all those other things. So in this passage, I believe the blessings are an encouragement to those who are on the margins. They're saying God is for you, not against you, even though everything the world says suggests otherwise. The woes, they're a warning. They're a warning. They are a call to repentance. They're a call to those of us who are well off in whatever way it may be, to have open hands towards those who are not, to not hold tightly to what we have, but to be as generous as God is, because the standard is God's exuberant generosity. His exuberant generosity in sending Jesus to be our Savior. And if that's the standard, those of us who have enough and more should look at that and consider what we do with what we have. So there's a challenge there for all of us, I think, because in world terms, we are all incredibly rich. And because some of us, at times in our lives, will have some of the things that make us poor in some way. but we should be able to rely on one another to support us through those times. Certainly, we need to be aware of those around us who are on the margins, who are on the edges, because God is for them, and we need to be for them too. Amen. We stand for the offertory. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.